It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our present study is in the book of Acts, and we're in Acts chapter 23. And we've been reading how that Paul was brought before the Sanhedrin. He had been taken now the day before, in Acts chapter 22, we read how that he would have been killed because he had been preaching the word of God, and the people had come upon him and they were beating him. And so the person who was in charge of the soldiers had rescued Paul and taken him away so that he would not be killed. Well, it ends up and turns out here in chapter 23 that Paul once again is brought before the council, the Sanhedrin. And as he was brought there, Paul recognized that there were Sadducees and Pharisees present. And this, of course, they were in the Sanhedrin. This would be the supreme Jewish judicial court as such. Well, the sect of the Sadducees professed to be Orthodox Jews believing in the Mosaic law, but were actually materialists believing in neither bodily nor spiritual resurrection. Nevertheless, they were more powerful politically than the more biblically oriented Pharisees. Now, what takes place here is that Paul has made it known that he was a Pharisee and was being judged concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, according to verse 6 of Acts chapter 23. And also, as he did this, this caused a dissension among the Sanhedrin, according to verse 7. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, but the Pharisees did believe in the resurrection. So you see, there was a problem here between the people who had come to listen to Paul and to actually judge him. Well, the scribes of the Pharisees spoke out that they found nothing evil in Paul. Well, what happened? What took place here then? Well, the Roman commander was afraid that Paul would be killed and ordered the soldiers to take Paul back to the barracks, according to verse 10 of Acts chapter 23. And then we move on in chapter 23 and verse 11, we read this. And the night following, the Lord stood by Paul and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Well, the Lord appeared and spoke to Paul the following night after the confrontation with the Sanhedrin. And Paul was told by the Lord to be happy. Can you imagine being in chains and being held captive there? And the Lord says, "Well, Paul, be of good cheer." And once again, he told him this because he would be the Lord's witness at Rome. And Paul was wanting to do this. He wanted to be a witness for the Lord. And everywhere Paul went, there was an uproar. People got saved, and there were people who did not get saved, and they caused the uproar. Well, once again, as we continue reading here, we're going to read chapter 23, verses 12 through 15 now, and there was a plan that the Jews, they had planned, and they were planning to kill Paul here. In Acts chapter 23, and we start reading with verse 12, "And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, 'We have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore ye, with the council, signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or never he come near, are ready to kill him.'" Well, the Lord's trip to Rome strategy starts here with Paul. And this will be an expensive trip, and it will be all expenses paid for Paul. And these opposers of Jesus had taken an oath before God, according to verse 12. More than 40 Jews had banded together and took an oath to kill Paul before they ate or drank anything. The plotting Jews went to the chief priests and elders to present their plan, according to verse 14. See, they went to the Sadducean segment of the Sanhedrin with their plan. The Pharisees probably knew nothing about this. Well, then we see that the chief priests and elders were to contact the commander and say that they wanted Paul to be called before the council again for further inquiry. And then the 40 Jews would lie in wait to kill him along the way, according to verse 15. Well, then we read of more of the plot. The murder plot is discovered. Acts chapter 23, verses 16 through 22. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, see, someone heard about this. It was Paul's sister's son. He went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, "Bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him." So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, "Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee." Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, "What is it that thou hast to tell me?" And he said, "The Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee." So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him. He said, "See thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me." Well, as we think about these verses, we see Paul's nephew. He heard of this ambush plot to kill Paul. What did he do? He went to Paul in the barracks where Paul was being held and told him what he had heard. Well, Paul had his nephew taken to the commander, and the commander took him aside and heard the plot, and Paul's nephew departed from the commander after being told not to tell anyone that they had spoken about the plot. Well, the next thing we see here is that Paul is sent to Felix by night, and we read about this in Acts chapter 23, verses 23 through 35. But before we get to the plot thing that Paul was going to be presented to Felix, he was being prepared to be transported. In Acts chapter 23, verses 23 through 24, it says, "And he called unto him two centurions, saying, Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor." Well, here now we see the commander is getting ready to take Paul somewhere else, have him taken somewhere else. There were 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen, and they were prepared to take Paul to Caesarea at the third hour of the night. Now, according to Roman time, the third hour would be 3 a.m. Oh, Jewish time, this is the third watch, which would be at midnight, to 3 a.m. Well, Paul was to go before Governor Felix, according to verse 24. And we read in Acts 24:25 it says, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Well, this is when Paul presents the gospel to Felix, and he lets him know about Jesus Christ. Now, that's in Acts chapter 24. Remember now, this is where Paul was being taken to at this time. He's going to be delivered to Felix. Well, now we read in Acts chapter 23, verses 25 through 30, that there was a letter, if you would, a cover letter. And this commander wrote a letter after this manner, it says in verse 25. And verse 26 continues on, "Claudius Lysias unto the most excellent governor, Felix, sendeth greeting. This man was taken of the Jews," speaking of Paul now, "and should have been killed of them. Then I came with an army and rescued him. having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee, and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Now this was the letter that the commander had written to the most excellent governor Felix. And if you would, this would be a cover letter. In other words, explaining what was taking place. And in this we now learn the chief captain's name, Claudius Lysias. This is the man who rescued Paul more than once. Well, the letter was summarized, and the situation with Paul was the Jews were going to kill him. They had a plot that they were going to kill him. And so this man, Claudius Lysias, had learned of the plot to ambush and kill Paul, and due to this, he had sent Paul to Felix and ordered his accusers to appear before Felix to state their charges against Paul. Now, I'm sure that these people didn't like that because they wanted to kill Paul outright. They just wanted to kill him right away, but it didn't happen that way. Acts chapter 23, verses 31 through 35, it says, "Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, 'I will hear thee,' said he, 'when thine accusers are also come.' And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall." Well, here is Felix now, and he says, "I'm going to hear what is to be said. I want to hear your accusers of what they're accusing you of, and I want to hear you," is what he's saying. And we see that in these verses, the soldiers, horsemen, and spearmen took Paul by night to Antipatris. This is the location of ancient Antipatris, and it's uncertain where it was at. Well, the next day the horsemen continued and took Paul to Caesarea, while the soldiers and spearmen returned to Jerusalem. And that's what we've just got through reading. And let me say this. Some people believe that the Bible cannot be understood. Some people believe that it's too hard to read, it's too hard to understand. But I found out that there are some good commentaries that you can read concerning the Scriptures, but I found this, that the Scriptures are the best commentary for themselves. The Bible will explain what is going on within, what is happening within the words, within the verses, within the chapters of the Scripture itself. So when I read the Bible, I read it in context. Reading it in context means I do not take one verse and try to pull that out and say that it means this or that. What I do is go through the Scriptures and I read a verse and I see how that verse is with the other Scriptures as I continue reading. And that's what we call rightly dividing the Word of Truth, not taking one Scripture and taking it out and trying to make some big deal out of it. Well, we need to study the Scriptures and we need to rightly divide the Scriptures. And the first thing you need to do to rightly divide is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He guides us. He helps us to understand His Word.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.